Hello and welcome back to another episode of Movie Deputy Reviews, where we are going into another in-depth interrogation of a very highly anticipated movie. This one opened yesterday, so I hope that if you haven't had the chance to see this one yet, and this is one that you are wanting to see, that this will actually help you, or at least give you some more information to decide if this is one that you're going to want to see or not. I had the awesome opportunity of taking my sister along with me to go see this one, and we both thoroughly have enjoyed the other two movies, so I think that kind of gives a unique perspective on what we went into this one expecting. I will say, before you see this one, if you are not familiar with the Quiet Place story and you want to maybe start here because this is kind of the prequel for the other two, that it might make some sense, but there's definitely some things in here that if you don't understand kind of how these creatures interact with the sounds and the world around them, you may be a little bit confused. So I honestly recommend seeing them in the order that they were released, of the first Quiet Place, Quiet Place 2, and then this one, because like I said, there's things in this that help you to understand, or that in the other movies that kind of help you to understand some of what is going on here. There's just certain references there that's kind of going on with all of that. Score-wise, I'm actually going to give you the score right up front, but I want you to stick around and check out the review because I do think that there are going to be some important details that I'm touching on. And don't worry, no spoilers, as always. Quiet Place Day One, I am giving this a guilty rating because there are some intense scenes that might be a little bit much for the youngest of audiences. And I am actually going into this with a score of 6.5 out of 10 on the Deputy scale. Now, I might have gone a little bit higher because the story, how this one plays out, is maybe a little bit more fluid. It's a little bit more dynamic than kind of what we've seen in the other two. But there are some things that take away from the score as well. Just, I'll get into that a little bit more. And of course, no spoilers. No spoilers ever. But when the movie is starting, it kind of plays on the whole thing with noise. And like I said, if you're familiar with these aliens, they are attracted to noise. They will kill anything that makes noise or destroy anything that makes noise. So we've kind of seen how, I mean, the movie started. It's like the family lives out in the middle of brim-free nowhere. I'm trying to think how to word that carefully so I don't get censored. But they just live out in the sticks. And so it's easy for them to live a quiet life because there's not really much around them. Then in the second movie, we kind of see small town America, and we kind of understand that it's a little bit harder to stay quiet. In this movie, it opens up in New York City. And one of the first things that it does before it even gets into the movie is it's got this information on the screen at the very beginning of the movie that New York City, it functions just average function at 90 decibels. And if you're not familiar with what that is, that's basically a constant scream. Now, imagine that. Imagine the volume level of a constant scream. But the fact that it's all just like background noise, and it's the hustle and bustle of the city, and it's just constant. And you'll understand kind of why the movie starts out as intense as it does. And so that really plays on a big thing. I mean, literally anything above a whisper can activate these monsters. And if you couldn't hear that, it's like I was just trying to be a play on the whole whispering. But anything beyond a whisper, I mean, will basically get you killed, eaten. And sometimes, and even a whisper is too loud around. If they're too close to you, even a whisper is too loud. And there's a big, important character that you see in the trailers and everything like that. And I actually had missed one of the trailers that my sister told me about the other night. But if you are at all curious, it's like I always give a heads up, especially if there's any injury or involving animals and stuff like that. Frodo is a little black and white kitty cat. And Frodo, this is not going to be like a major spoiler or anything, but it might help you give you some peace of mind for the movie. Frodo does survive. Frodo, I mean, it's a little intense at times, but Frodo does survive. And I guess that was actually revealed in one of the trailers. Like I said, that's the trailer that I missed. But in case you did not see that, so don't worry. That's not a major spoiler or anything like that. So if you were concerned about that, hopefully that will put your mind and your heart at ease. Now, how are the characters playing along with this one? In the last ones, it's like we've kind of saw the same family playing out. We don't see them in this one. We don't see that particular family. What we do see here are hospice patients. Now, you may be thinking, what? Because that's kind of what I was thinking. And it basically is like a field trip of sorts. It's these people that live in the, I'm trying to think of the name of the Little Furs Hospice Center, they have a chance to go into the city to just go to this show. And the one needs a little bit of convincing to go. But she's like, okay, I'll go if we can get pizza. And don't worry, that's not a spoiler either. But so they agree to go get pizza. And so they go into the city. And while they're in the city for the show that they go to, everything starts to fall apart. They look up at the sky and they see these things coming in, and then these creatures. And these creatures attack, like I said, everything with noise, anything that makes noise, anything that even has a vibration or anything to it. So absolute panic ensues. But remember, this is New York City. This is loud. This is chaos. This is just... What's wrong, Quincy? Sorry, you might hear one of my kitties meowing. Sorry. If you've been a fan of me at all, you know I am the mother of now 6 kitty cats. I'm a kitty. I'm a crazy cat lady, admittedly. Crazy cat lady, full on. And I always give a shout out to One Fast Cat, as those wheels have saved our sanity when it comes to our hyper kitties. So thank you so much for that, guys. But getting back to the movie, you have, like I said, you have these hospice patients who are just trying to get an escape from the norm. And one of them is dealing with really chronic pain issues. And as a chronic pain patient myself, I appreciate their care and attention to detail that they do on that. And of course, like I said, Frodo is safe. Frodo is the little kitty cat. But like I said, this is New York City. And what's going to happen if you're basically showing New York City being attacked by monsters? Well, chaos, absolute chaos ensues. And I think it's very important to mention that if you were traumatized by 9/11, which of course basically every American that was alive at that moment did or was, and or if you know somebody that was involved in that, or you lost somebody in that, or the pictures and the videos and everything were just too much for your mental health and just overwhelming and just all of that, this is not the movie for you. After the towers fell, everybody in the city was basically the same color. They were all covered in that ash gray, and of course that led to all the health conditions and all that, which I'm not downplaying in the least, but the destruction and the decimation that we see of New York City here, we see a lot of scenes where everybody is covered in like that grayish type ash, like everybody was covered in after the towers fell. And then we see, as they are going through some of the ruins of the city that are left after these aliens come down, and it's very, very reminiscent of post 9/11, of the cleanups, of the wreckage and everything of what was left of the towers and the other buildings and everything that fell. And it is going to be extremely triggering and extremely emotional for people who have any connection to that at all. So the movie never really touches on that at all. And I'm not sure it's like why they took it as far as they did. But honestly, that's the only reason that this movie is not in the sevens. It's just, it carries it too far in that direction. And, okay, there's special effects and there's these intense moments and all of that, but it's hard to get past the 9/11 references. It never, like, shows the towers or shows anything like that, but anybody who lived through that remembers that day is going to... I had tears in my eyes watching this movie. I had two people that one I knew directly and one I knew indirectly that passed away on that day, that were in the towers. And this movie was downright difficult at times. There were times I had to just like swallow down. It's like I had this lump in my throat and I just had to swallow it down, or I felt like I couldn't breathe. And so it's just important to touch on that. But that's not the whole base. That the story doesn't just focus on the wreckage and all this. The story focuses on how people are trying to escape the city. And as you can imagine, trying to escape New York in the midst of this chaos was like trying to get out of the towers that day. And it's showing these people walking, and even just the sound of walking, the sound of shuffling was enough to, it still makes noise. And so what's going to happen if these people make noise? Well, it's kind of self-explanatory. But the main character that you see in the movie, her name is Samira, and she ends up just coming across this guy named Eric, who is just trying to figure out how to survive and trying to figure out how to navigate this world. It's like he's not a Native American. He's not from America. I didn't mean to say Native American on that, but he's not native to America. And so she convinces herself she doesn't need him. She doesn't need anybody. And he needs somebody. He like grasps onto her, not physically, but it's so hard when you are in a difficult situation and you're alone. And so you need that connection. You need that interaction with another person or another or an animal or something. You need to have a connection to something. And his is to her. And so they work together and they end up, she is trying to get back to a very specific part of New York for something that relates very specifically to her memories. And I won't give that away. But he really kind of assists her in this. And part of it is about going home. And there's a beauty in that. And there is a little bit of lightheartedness in the midst of all of this chaos that brings a smile to your face in a way that you might not necessarily anticipate. And even as the story kind of gets to the precipice and you think it's right at the end of the story, there's something else that happens that you just don't expect. And like I said, no spoilers, but there's just something at the end of this that is just, it catches you off guard. It's like you expect it, but you don't expect it. So I would say expect the unexpected. I know I'm running a little bit long on this one, so I do apologize. But like I said, it's important to touch on the thing that it's like of all cities to show this type of chaos and stuff in, why did they pick New York? It's like, I know, we are literally, we're 23 years post 9/11. And so there's an entire generation of people who hear about 9/11 and think of it the way that Gen Xers think of Pearl Harbor. They can't relate with it because they weren't around. It's like, it's important to learn about that part of history, but they just can't relate with it on the same level. And it makes it hard. So the people involved with this, maybe they were part of that newer generation and just didn't have that connection. That's really all I can think of, because just the rawness of it, the emotion of it. Like I said, it's just going to be too much for some. Now, if you are not sensitive to that and you are a fan of the other two movies, I do highly recommend this movie. It is entertaining. Like I said, it has a better flow to it than the other ones kind of have, because it doesn't feel like there's any filler content. It feels like the story just flows. And that's what I like to see in a story such as this. So I hope this has helped you at least a little bit on deciding if this is going to be a movie for you or not. I know we've been talking about some kind of deep topics here, and that's the thing. I'm not afraid to talk about these topics. I'm not afraid to go there. I'm not afraid of upsetting you. It's like, if you don't like the content, guess what? You know where the off button is. But of course, if you appreciate this content and you want more of it, you know which buttons to push. Of course, the like, subscribe, share, etc. Be sure to, if you subscribe, you'll always get the notifications on the latest and greatest Movie Deputy content, which of course is me on that. But I hope that this has helped, and I will be back soon with another one of the big movies that came out this weekend. Bye-bye.